It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. I'm your host, Paul, and alongside Kaleidoscope Gallery contributor, Autumn, we will be exploring the Flux Train with its mysterious flux valence propulsion. Avatars with legs in Meta's metaverse. A proposed high-speed hovercraft. Flying cars. Hover cars. Cryogenics and the big freeze. A cure for death. And more. So let's explore these exhibits inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Extraterrestrials, strange phenomena, missing persons, lost continents, myths, and monsters.
We examine these mysteries to determine, are they bullshit or not?
Thanks very much for joining me, Autumn.
My pleasure.
I think we'll have some fun today because we have a number of headlines that, well, we're going to put them to the test.
Okay.
Whether or not these headlines and the stories within them are either, fake, pipe dreams, or whether they're actually real, or whether they're possible, but not yet real.
Okie doke.
The first one. This is a headline in CNN, and it says, Canada might be getting a 1,000 kilometer per hour vacuum tube train. It's called the Flux Jet.
A new player has entered the Hyperloop game. The Flux Jet promises to transport passengers and cargo at more than 620 miles per hour. The vehicle features leaps in contactless power transmission and a new field of physics called valence flux, which allows it to travel in a protected guideway faster than a jet and three times as fast as a high-speed train.
Flux Jet. That's, I gotta say, it's kind of a cool name, I guess.
Yeah, what was the technology that was saying? Flux, flux valve something? Flux?
The vehicle features leaps in contactless power transmission in a new field of physics called valence flux.
Valence flux. So it sounds like a marketing term, right? I guess that was like a flux valence. What the hell? This is like not Star Trek.
That sounds a bit like the flux capacitor in...
Right? Yeah.
In Back to the Future.
The flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor.
Yes.
So what is your spidey sense is telling you now? Is this BS or not?
What is this science? Like, so they show you a photograph of, it looks like these four nacelles or power sources or power emitters. And it gives you the sense, the way it's designed, right? It gives you the sense that something is vibrating and creating space for propulsion. Like, I mean, again, the way I'm talking, I sound like I'm, writing for a sci-fi skit. No, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, this is part of the, it's a kind of a version of Hyperloop, supposedly, with this amazing vacuum tube that is being alleged that can be created, but
yeah,
people are running into all sorts of very challenging engineering problems.
And the environmental impact, like Calgary is like so fragile right now because there's a lot of digging happening. There's a lot of like breaking of the environment. And sure. So let's actually, because it's about an hour or two drive away, so it's doable as like a pilot thing, but again, you're looking at maybe a longer version of the Virgin Loop that failed, right?
Right, because they even said, the Virgin Hyperloop, as recently as we heard, given up with their Hyperloop carrying people, because people being rather fragile creatures. But yeah, we're looking at this picture of this transponder. It should be said that for the most part, this was all CGI. And then the headline of CNN said, Canada might be getting a flux jet. It's very sci-fi looking.
It would be realistic if it were magnetic, because we know maglev already exists, and it does. It's a tech for sure that's being applied for railway, right? So why not? I thought it was going to be something magnetic, but anyways.
It's not. It's flux valence.
Flux valence.
Already managed this company. What's the name of the company again? It's called TransPod. They've already raised $550 million actual dollars so far.
Yeah.
Are you an investor, Autumn? Are you going to buy in?
Yeah, right.
Do you think we're going to see this by 2035, as it says?
There's just so many claims in the next 10, 20 years that are meant to happen. It's, you know, it's very much... it's very sci-fi still. Like, honestly, it's... And baby steps, right? Like, look at the metaverse. It's a joke. I mean...
Well, it's funny that you brought up the metaverse, and by here you mean actually Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse.
Of course.
Imagine you put on your glasses or headset and you're instantly in your home space. It has parts of your physical home recreated virtually, it has things that are only possible virtually, and it has an incredibly inspiring view of whatever you find most beautiful.
Meta Connect 2022, Meta's annual virtual reality developers conference, took place in Meta's Horizon Worlds. If there was any doubt about Meta's commitment to building out the metaverse, Mark Zuckerberg laid out the company's plan in his choreographed keynote address.
We believe in this vision so deeply that we renamed our whole company after it. And we're in a moment now when a lot of the technologies that will power the metaverse are starting to take off.
He unveiled the new Quest Pro VR headset, highlighted Meta's push into the workplace, and showed off Meta's next-gen avatars with, wait for it, legs.
This is an article in TheVerge.com. Did Mark Zuckerberg's little dance actually show us real metaverse legs? Now, what is this referring to? This is referring to Meta, which is formerly Facebook's.
Right.
Big push into...
virtual reality, AR, essentially, yeah. Yeah, that's what the metaverse is, right?
And originally when they had their first sort of demo of this kind of like meeting, having a business meeting in the metaverse, the avatar for the people, representing people, they were sans legs.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they just didn't have any legs.
For whatever reason. It was they didn't take time to develop it, right? The tech is not there yet. They're just basically like, they're basically rendering a 3D of icons, right? And that's what it is, and that are talking heads. And yeah, it's really silly. It's his, and it's, a lot of people are not actually paying attention to it.
Meta's VR, Meta's verse, is not really connecting. And here, this article you were referring to earlier in The Verge, it says, Mark Zuckerberg made a huge announcement. The avatars in the company's Horizon VR app will be getting legs soon. Not now, but soon. To demonstrate this groundbreaking technical achievement, Zuckerberg's digital avatar lifted each leg in the air. But then there's a question as to whether or not this was just simply a rendering of it and not an actual demonstration of the technology.
Yeah.
So apparently we're going to have to wait to see if the legs are really there.
Yeah.
You know, we're still in suspense. You know, would you want to invest in an expensive headset, virtual reality headset, and then be disappointed that the legs don't really move?
They're marketing it so that they can get the cash to do it, right? That's what they're doing. I mean, that's just how it works.
It's a sales pitch.
Always. I mean, what else would it be? I mean, that's, you know, If it's not ready now, then you know they haven't developed it yet, or it's in development or something. It's not perfected.
And they're trying to advertise to investors that, because it must have seemed very strange to people that these avatars were just without legs.
Virtual reality should, in theory, be immersively 3D. Like, you can feel everything, and that's why you need headsets to, like, you know, to, or head and eye sets to, like, completely immerse you, sight, sound, etc.
That might not happen until we can actually get it implanted into our eyes or into our brains.
Implants is another story. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if we're there yet.
All right, so we'll have to say, Otto, for now, that right now Meta's metaverse is a bit of a BS story.
It's just a lot of hype, really. Right now, it's just hype.
Two high-speed hovercraft are set to begin gliding over Lake Ontario next summer, back and forth between St. Catharines and Toronto. A two-hour-plus trip by car will take just 30 minutes on the hovercraft. The hovercraft will be the first of its kind in North America. Passengers will sit in a climate-controlled cabin for the 30-minute ride. The company says even when the lake freezes over, the hovercraft will still operate daily.
Moving on to some more CGI and amazing headlines here.
Okay.
In BlogTO, Toronto is getting a new high-speed hovercraft to Niagara region. The image that they have at the head of this article is really quite poorly done Photoshop.
It's like it's a hydrofoil, right? I mean, they've existed since the 70s. What the hell is new about this?
That's what it seems to be, like a hydrofoil. I didn't know exactly what they were called.
It's a hydrofoil.
What is a hydrofoil? It's basically kind of not. It doesn't float above the water, but there's air.
Actually, in a way, it does, because it builds up air at the bottom. Here, hydrofoil. I'm pretty sure this was actually even in a Bond movie. I think, you know, oil that operates in water.
Okay, but here they're suggesting this Ontario company called HoverLink Ontario is somehow touting this as you'll be able to get from downtown Toronto to St. Catharines in just 30 minutes. Now, I'd have to look up exactly how many kilometers that is, but that seems like quite the fantastic claim.
If the lake is flat, yeah, no problem. But when have you ever seen Lake Ontario flat? I mean, honestly, no, it's a big fucking lake. It's not like, right?
That's a great point. And they're claiming here that it would run year-round. With all weather craft,
the big ferries in BC alone have challenges getting on to their destinations on time, and not because of, you know, water conditions or their technology, but because they're big ass boats, right? But I don't know how anybody can claim that. Well, unless this hydrofoil 2.0 is it can run in 30 minutes in any weather condition, right?
Yeah.
And through the winter, because, okay, I guess Ontario does not, it doesn't freeze up, but
something's not adding up here. And what's interesting is, this is a quote from CFL, which is the Canadian Football League legend and member of HoverLink Board of Directors.
Pinball Clemens, oh my God, yeah.
You know, all my life, I've heard the same old thing.
It's a long low, buddy.
Mike, you're not big enough. Mike. You're not fast enough. But I didn't become the CFL's most outstanding player by listening to the crowd. So when someone asks me, Mike, how do you do it? You're not tall enough. I tell them, I'm just like my Reeboks. When it's time to play, I get pumped.
Pinball Clemens is December's months away, yet today we officially announce a gift to families across the Golden Horseshoe. Yeah, okay, so as you said, the technology is old and it's been proven but they're not telling us how it's going to be so fast though.
Yeah, there have been previous attempts at non-hovercraft high-speed ferry services across Lake Ontario. And what the catamaran ferry route. I remember that one.
So most notably, the ill-famed attempt to connect Toronto and Rochester, the catamaran ferry route. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have to, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is probably never going to happen. We'll just have to see if we'll be able to go from St. Catharines to Toronto all year round in climate-controlled cabins and zip above the lake surface on cushions of air.
It'll remain to be seen.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Let's face it, we're all going to die. And it'll probably happen sooner than we like. But what if there was a way to escape the apocalypse? In fact, what if we could cheat death altogether? Freeze ourselves in time and wake up in the future when all of our problems have disappeared. The idea of putting humans into cryosleep is everywhere in science fiction. Han Solo trapped in carbonite, Captain America frozen in ice. But what about the real world? Can we stave off death through the power of cryonics? Welcome to the Alcor Life Extension Foundation, the self-proclaimed world leader in cryonics. For just under $250,000, Alcor is selling a second chance at life. The Alcor team looks after nearly 200 people who are waiting to take that second chance. One small catch: every person preserved here has been pronounced clinically dead. But to Alcor, that's just a technicality.
Our best estimates are that within 50 to 100 years, we will have the medical technologies needed to restore our patients to health and function.
If we are
Wow.
putting this through our filter here of whether it's true or not, cryogenic freezing. Would you personally take the risk?
Oh, good God, no. What? Okay, so how? So, really? Wow. I don't know, man. That can't be right. It's obviously made up. This story is totally made up.
There are cryogenic freezing facilities in North America and perhaps other places in the world. Now, here's a company called the Cryonics Institute. And it says, we provide long-term storage and security for members of our cryonics facility in Clinton Township, Minnesota. We specialize in full-body preservation.
The Cryonics Institute is the world's largest provider of whole-body cryonics. They have performed more whole-body human and pet cryosuspensions than any other organization. The Cryonics Institute is also the most affordable cryonics company, with a whole-body suspension fee of only $28,000.
Oh my God. It just does not seem real, because how could you trust this tech? I mean, you know, yeah, sure, I see it in sci-fi, and it works, right? Because it's science fiction. But, I mean, okay... Your body's frozen in time. It's frozen, but how is it supported? How do you guarantee that you won't get cellular decay even though you're frozen for a long period of time? You know, it's
the idea is as soon as you've passed away, and before physical decay begins.
Oh, so these are people who are already dead.
Best time would be like the instant. After you pass away, you get popped into one of these cryogenic freezers.
Okay.
So that in the future, some undefined future, you'll be woken up by this, by new technology that can.
But you're already dead. How can you be woken up?
No, you're just freshly dead, though. So there's maybe a bit of you in there still.
I'm just freshly dead. I have a 0.01% chance of maybe having another breath before I croak 1,000 years from now.
Yes, and how expensive would this be?
Oh my God.
How expensive would the rent on these things be? Because it would be charged monthly or yearly, and you'd live 1,000 years. You'd end up paying like $2 billion for it.
There must be like a clause in these things where they say, you know, well, okay, after, you know, X number of years, we're dumping you because we need space, right? Right? No, I mean, they're going to work it out that way for sure.
What happens if the company goes bankrupt?
Well, there you go. So that's another problem.
But if you go to their frequently asked questions, there's a question, and apparently this is the second most frequently asked question. Can cryonics be performed on living people? And their answer is, legally, not yet. But we hope that one day it will be. Under carefully controlled conditions, I think these guys are saying that they could do it on living people, it's just not legal.
Oh my god. Like, honestly, if you're gonna perfect cryonics or whatever the made up technological term for it is, the use application should be for space travel. We've already been through this, you know. So many stories about trying to obtain the fountain of youth. Like, I mean, it's old and tired, and why would anybody be fascinated by it? You're already dead. God, just let go of it.
Here's a first look at the world's largest geothermal solar lagoon coming to Canada. This magical-looking geo lagoon in Quebec will be heated to 38 degrees for 12 months a year, making it the perfect winter getaway. This tourist destination draws heavy inspiration from Iceland's Blue Lagoon, but differs in one major way. It's on track to becoming the first self-sufficient energy village in the entire world. These exclusive renderings show the 120,000 square foot spa and attached restaurant, and the solar-powered chalet village with long-term and short-term rentals, which visitors will be able to rent out on Airbnb. The developer plans to build 4 geolagoon villages around Quebec in the future, and another 8 across Canada, with an eye on Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto. Construction is set to begin in the spring of 2023.
A small town in Canada is about to become home to the world's largest geothermal and solar lagoon, and oh boy, does it ever look magical. Now, what can we get a great gather about this?
Okay, like, honestly, wow, marketing, but what is powering this fucker, right? It's a big-ass area to be heating an entire, like, you know, body of water, and how do you regulate that? Self-sufficient? Okay, power, solar power, that makes total sense. You could probably get away with pitching it as something that's self-sufficient with solar power, but that's just a lot of energy, right? How big it is. I mean, it's great, but how is it powered is my question.
The Geo Lagoon developer, Louise Massicotte, says the 120,000 square foot lagoon will be heated to 38 degrees centigrade for 12 months a year. The amazing first will be made possible thanks to the lagoon and its thermal reservoir.
So there is a thermal reservoir on this. There's a thermal reservoir in that area.
Yeah. At the center of each geo lagoon village is an ecosystem that incorporates a reservoir storing heat underneath the lagoon. It is heated by solar and geothermal energies and by biomass.
Where are they getting the geothermal energy? Anyways, it's just really... Unless there's got to be a geothermal source there somewhere.
Well, that's the only way that it would work, right?
Right, and for sure.
We keep in mind, this says the construction is going to be beginning in 2023, yet all we are seeing is obviously mock-ups of this, and it does look quite fantastical, kind of unreal looking.
Yeah. It's doable if there actually is a geothermal site. And they can tap the energy from that energy source as well as the sun. So, yeah.
My BS detector is going off here.
Your BS detector is going off.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm really unclear about the geothermal source. Maybe it does exist. And if it does, then it's possible. You know what? I'm kind of looking forward to it. Hopefully it does work, because I wouldn't have to travel to Iceland to experience that geothermal spa, because I love geothermal spas.
You are listening to The Kaleidoscope Gallery. The Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Well, the car of the future took flight today. The X2 flying car, there it is, took off in an unmanned test flight in Dubai. It's a two-seater, electric, and has vertical takeoff and landing like a chopper. 8 propellers, get it airborne, but it also has road capabilities, as you might expect. It will reportedly be available sometime in 2 years from now, 2024. Price tag approximately $156,000.
It's not bad considering some of the other cars that are out there right
now.
It's
comparable, right?
I know. But wow, that's pretty cool, huh?
I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not trying to fly.
No?
You know? No.
Even if it means you can get to work quicker? Hey, it's going to happen one of these
days. Is it?
It will. Like the Jetsons, you know?
Chinese flying car. This is from Reuters. Makes first public flight in Dubai. And it's interesting to note that they have a correction right at the top of the article, and it says, this October 11th story has been corrected to amend the duration of flight to 90 seconds instead of 90 minutes. Originally reported as hanging in the air for 90 minutes, but they really meant 90 seconds.
Right.
So how is that impressive, though?
It's not, but it is a publicity stunt to get investors to throw money at you, right?
Are we seeing a theme here, Autumn?
Well, that's what it is, right? It's like there is one legit flying car that actually is a convertible, right? You've seen that one. I think it's a flying car.
A car that is also an automobile but also flies, or just flies?
Exactly. No, it's a car that converts into a plane. This is legit.
Okay. The flying car completes first ever intercity flight.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The future has arrived. Or at least its prototype has. The air car took its first intercity journey in Slovakia, from the city of Nitra to the capital, Bratislava. A 35-minute flight in a car that, at the click of a button, can transform into an aircraft in just 2 minutes and 15 seconds. In the air, it can reach 190 kilometers an hour and carry 2 people with a combined weight of 200 kilos.
This flying car, the air car dual-mode aircraft vehicle, moved closer to production this week, fulfilling a key development milestone in a 35-minute flight from one city to another. And it is the concept of an actual car that you would drive down the road, and then also, when you're in the mood, just sort of fly it.
You can actually, yeah, because the wings actually detract. It's
Retract.
Retract, sorry, yeah.
But why would you want to have both? In what case would you have to drive it to an airport, basically, to take off?
Pretty much.
Why not just have a plane?
But it's a flying car.
But you need a lot of runway. So if you're stuck in traffic, for instance, because that's kind of the dream, is that, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. Oh, just go into fly mode. And you could just fly out of there. But here you need a long, long-ass runway. An airport clearance, and I would have to think some kind of pilot's license, because you'd have to know.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you'd need an aviator's license for this.
Whereas the proposition for this this Chinese flying car in Dubai, this is the idea that anyone can just fly anywhere around and just plug it in and have a, you know, just plug it into the wall, charge it up, and fly above the skyscrapers in Dubai.
Yeah, I mean, my God, plug it on the wall and let it fly. Like, just, what the hell? Ugh.
Yeah, I think that one is... I think we're going to have to, on that one, call that one for now bullshit, so...
Yeah, not ready. Yeah. Half-baked, yeah.
The Volkswagen Hover Car. This floating bubble comes alive with the press of a button and is apparently operated by a center-mounted joystick, and all your dashboard information is displayed hologram style. Volkswagen might have us settle for hovering. The zero-emission two-seater vehicle hovers above the ground, traveling on electromagnetic roads propelled by rear-mounted thrusters. While navigating China's congested traffic centers, it can detect other vehicles on the road. And it's so small, so parking is a cinch. It's a hover car.
The Volkswagen hover car?
Yeah.
It's cute, though. I think it's cute. Totally unrealistic, right? Like, what Chinese street would see that? You know, and where would you build the framework for it's maglev, right? Or something.
Is that how it's hovering?
It's through magnetic, yeah. Magnetic repulsion, I guess.
Repulsion? just floating through whatever street in the world and being charged wirelessly, like just this endless party in this hover car. I cannot believe that.
My first view of a hovering vehicle was Star Wars, when Luke went Tatooine, right? And you can tell, oh my God, this is... As you look closely to it, it's like, yeah, there's the special effects were patchy back then, but still, it was pretty cool, right?
It's common for car companies to make concept cars that never get built, and they may not even actually work. They're just kind of like, oh, look at what the cars may look like in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Volkswagen is actually, are they developing a hover car?
It's not much of a hover car. It's more like a yo-yo that's like walking, like just like driving you around. There's not even room for luggage, nothing. It's
not real. Yet.
I don't know about the yet. I mean, you know.
That takes the cake of all the things that we were looking at today.
I just couldn't resist.
Some of the things we've talked about today may indeed come to fruition. But I know for sure that you are definitely looking forward to like soaking and relaxing the geothermal spa.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I will join you there if that does come in.
For sure.
Yeah.
It will. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun when it happens in Quebec.
Okay, so you're giving it a positive prognosis here. Okay,
exactly. And as long as there's not much of a carbon footprint left, right? Because that's the whole idea, I think, of it being geothermal and solar powered, so that it doesn't leave much of a carbon footprint. But how it's built, mind you, might.
Well, Adam, I hope that we get an opportunity relatively soon to follow up on some of these or find some more of these to examine.
Yes, well, you know, they come along the way, right? They just, there's always something new cropping up.
So thanks again, Adam, for joining me.
My pleasure.
It was fun. And until next time.
Yes, until next time.
You have been listening to the many colors of the Kaleidoscope Gallery.